But anyways, welcome everybody to Unscripted Violence. This is Staggered Lee here, along with Spaz. And gonna talk Dynamite on
420. You are staggered.
A little bit. They started off with CM Punk versus the Natural Dustin Rhodes. And started off with the handshake, which gave that a good feel to the match for me. There is plenty of good back and forth action between the two in this match. Dustin did a crossroads followed by a pile driver, and Punk went for the GTS. He was selling his knee during the match. So during this, he was kind of acting like the knee was acting up and couldn't pull off the GTS. So he just sat down on Dustin and hooked the leg and for the cover and the win on that one. Then Hangman Adam Page came out and they just both stared each other down on that. I thought Dustin put on a good match.
Setting the stage for what could be Double or Nothing.
Yes. Yes. I think we're all getting geared up for that, and I can't wait to see it myself. I'd like to see Punk back where he belongs. And when it comes between him and Adam Page, I go with Punk. Page just has not felt like a champ to me.
He hasn't carried it very well. There was great buildup coming up with him and Kenny Omega. They had some great matches, some phenomenal matches. I thought Kenny Omega really put Adam Page up there on that shelf and carried him up to the title. But since then, I just don't feel like Page has really carried the belt that well. Just hasn't had any real superior great matches since he won the belt.
Yeah, I feel the same way, and I think a lot of the fans feel the same way. He does get a pretty good pop when he comes out. So there are people that like Hangman in the position. I personally don't, though. The more people I talk to, they give the same opinion. You know, they're just like, yeah, but I agree. He was doing great with Kenny Omega, and they had him on that. They had him feeling like a champ for a minute there, and then it just unraveled for some reason.
Yeah, just didn't have the appeal. I don't know if it's the booking or what it's been. Had a decent match with Daniel Bryan shortly after he came over. But since then, it's just kind of flat.
Yeah, I agree. They went to a taped segment where Wardlow walks in and there's security, and Smart Mark Sterling is explaining that Wardlow is to be handcuffed while he's in the building until his match with the Butcher. And also Mark had a message for Wardlow in which he tells Wardlow, from MJF, and MJF told him, "Eat shit, pig." And then Wardlow kind of had laughed and came back and said, "Oink, oink, bitch." So I thought that was great that he did that and just so on the spot with it.
Yeah, they're really building that up very well.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Wardlow being champ easy. He's got everything it takes.
Yeah, he does. He's got the size, he's got the ability, he's got some good work. Still think he's a little rough under the edges. Doesn't seem to have a lot of in-ring moves, a la John Cena, so we know it doesn't take much to see that.
Yeah. I like that, a la John Cena. But then we have the next match was the Blackpool Combat Club versus Brock Anderson, Lee Moriarty, and Dante Martin. William Regal joins on commentary. I always love William Regal on commentary, just putting him over.
The man with the mask.
Yes, I love that. I love that. How he calls Excalibur the man in the mask. He just adds a lot to it, and I'm glad that he's being used in such a good way.
Yeah, and it's so funny with Regal because you don't have to do a lot with him.
Yeah,
you really don't. He's good on the mic. I think this is a great position for him, just kind of putting a little club or team together, and it just makes him so useful and knowledgeable. He's got so much experience and knowledge in the wrestling business that it just makes him a perfect fit for AEW.
Yeah, and Regal, I think, should be a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he ever will be, but I think he should be. But that's more WWE shit, and
I think eventually he will be.
Yeah, I hope so. Just he deserves that respect. But this match wasn't much. It took a paradigm shift by Mox to get the win on it. Then we went backstage with the Young Bucks, Adam Cole and Red Dragon. Kyle O'Reilly kind of gives them a pet talk and says next week they'll do an Undisputed Elite 10 man tag open challenge. So that kind of piqued my interest, 5-on-5. And seeing how that they work together,
squash match.
Yeah, basically. The major announcement with Tony Khan, he was introduced the president of New Japan Pro Wrestling, Omari-san. Adam Cole interrupted and announces the show called The Forbidden Door, where AEW and NJPW will hold an event starring wrestlers from both promotions, starting with Adam Cole versus Ishii in a Owen Hart tournament qualifier. And then he says he has a very special friend who wants to say hello, and out came Switchblade Jay White. I don't know that much about Jay White myself. I know that he does a lot of good work in New Japan. I maybe have seen him once or twice.
Jay White's a phenomenal wrestler in New Japan. The guy can work.
Yeah, I've seen him once or twice, and I have no doubts about him being great in the ring. He's over with the fans. So that's all that matters there. Backstage, we have Jade Cargill. She's with Black Velvet and Kira Hogan and Smart Mark Sterling once again. And they're talking about Jade versus Shafir. And Jade simply says, "See you Friday, bitch." And that was that. Then we went into the Butcher versus Wardlow. And MJF is in a skybox with Sean Spears. MJF announces Wardlow will have no music, and he's still in cuffs, which I wonder, how did he get dressed if he was still in cuffs the whole time? kind of a little hole in the story there, but
yeah.
But I didn't. It's not that bad. But Wardlow just hit a series of 4 power bombs on the Butcher and gets the win. Wardlow just laughs as security cuffs him and leads him backstage. That was a pretty great way to showcase Wardlow and show that he is a powerhouse.
Yeah, Wardlow is a freak of nature. He reminds me of a young Batista.
Definitely, yes, yes. And Batista had the power bomb as a finisher, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, initially, yeah. Yep, that was his finisher.
So they are very similar in that way, which is not a bad thing. Owen Hart, we had an Owen Hart Foundation qualifying match, Kyle O'Reilly versus Jungle Boy. It was a very short match, and it ended with O'Reilly dropping a knee to Jungle Boy from the top rope, and he gets the win on that one. The match just went by so quick, I didn't have time to get into it, really.
Yeah, a lot of short matches last week.
Yeah. And backstage, we have MJF and Sean Spears. They're talking to Alex Marvez. MJF just pulls out an envelope with cash, hands it to an extremely sweaty Jake Roberts. He was sweating like no tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah, it was weird. But Lance Archer popped in and smacks the envelope of money out of Jake's hands and says he doesn't need any money. He just wants to beat Wardlow. So he's playing his role in that very well. Then we have Hook versus Anthony Henry. And the match starts off with Hook dominating as usual. Out pops out Danhausen trying to do the curse to Hook, but nothing happens. Hook locks in the red rum for the win. And Danhausen gets on the mic and says that if Hook will not be cursed by Danhausen, then he will fight Danhausen, poking his finger into Hook's chest. And the crowd gave a massive pop to this, and Hook just kind of bumps Danhausen with the shoulder and leaves the ring. So I want to see, like I said in the last podcast, I'd like to see Danhausen just get killed by Hook. I think it'd be, and Danhausen can be very entertaining during the match as well.
Yeah, we're going to see that real soon.
What's that?
We're going to see that real soon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all set up for that. Backstage is Tony Schiavone with Frank Kazarian. Immediately, Scorpio Sky walks in. He interrupts Kaz and says he knows Kaz wants to be TNT champion, but he needs a favor. He needs Kaz to wait because Scorpio wants to get his rematch and get the title back. And when he does, Kaz will be the first in line. And Kaz says he's always had Sky's back and he always will. And they left it at that. So they're still showing that camaraderie that they have from being SCU for so long. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Very much.
Yeah. And then Thunder Rosa was in a video package. It says it's time to go to Double or Nothing, basically. Now we have the Spanish god Sammy Guevara, he's in the ring with Ty Conti, and Sammy addresses the people booing him and Ty, and says they're jealous that his girlfriend's hotter than theirs, and they only have one option, and they both said, be mad. Not a very good promo in my eyes, but Dan Lambert comes out, says, and Sammy acts like some high school douchebag that can't keep his tongue out of his girlfriend's mouth.
Perfect. It was beautiful.
It was. Dan Lambert,
he's starting to grow on you a little bit.
Yeah. He at first he annoyed me. I will admit that. And, yep. And he was doing his job, but man, he's got a sharp wit on that mic, and he saved the whole promo in my eyes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because this Sammy and Ty thing, everybody thinks it's garbage. I think it's garbage. I like Sammy Guevara as a wrestler. I just don't like this him and Ty thing. The fans don't either. And I even heard rumors that on Rampage, they actually piped in cheers because it was taped.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what's up with that. I hope AEW does not keep doing things like that. That is so WWE-esque.
Yeah. Unfortunately, most of their Rampage shows are taped on Wednesday night.
Yeah. And honestly, Rampage is their B show. They hook me in with maybe one or two matches, but the rest of it I could care less about most of the time.
Yeah, I think what they need to do now is just kind of work on scrapping the Rampage and maybe turn that into a 2-hour Friday night show with promoting Ring of Honor. You know, Ring of Honor some more TV time now again.
Yeah, that would be great. And and then we're not overloaded with AEW because on Wednesday, and then there's one night, and then goes on Friday. And as a podcaster, it's difficult to keep the pace and like keep up to date on them. That's why I'm always a week behind on this, which I want to start working on getting more current. The whole reason is just real life shit I have going on, and the scheduling with my job. So I've talked to them about changing the schedule. Hopefully it works out and we can get you guys Dynamite and Rampage news a lot quicker. You know, maybe the Sunday or Saturday after they air. So it's a little more current.
Yeah, we can figure something out on that.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe do a second show during the week sometime as well, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm covering GCW still. I'm covering their two shows that just happened last week, actually. And
did you have technical issues with that show?
I did not. I watched the replay, though. I didn't.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah. So if you watch the replay, it'll turn out a lot better, because I haven't had any problems with them.
Yeah, I talked to Kevin Gill a couple days ago, and they were having some heavy technical issues. We kept losing audio every match towards the end of every match. Last couple 3 minutes, there'd be no audio.
Was it the Find You Again show, or the what's the other one's named? I can't remember it.
I don't remember the name of the show. It was just the one they had in Chicago last Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did not. Oh, I didn't even see that one. I watched the ones in, where were they? They were in Idaho or Ohio, I think, in this one.
Or no, Detroit. It was in Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the other show. I haven't even watched that yet, so I'm curious to see if they fixed it up for the replay.
No, they're still having the replays work great, but the live streams, they were having a lot of audio. They lost video signal at one point for a couple of minutes. But yeah. The show was great.
Oh, yeah.
Brutal.
Any GCW show, they never disappoint me. But we will be covering those shows. And I'll get together with you on that. And we'll have that out sometime this week. We have a video package next by the House of Black. Really building them up, making them look dark and just like a menacing force, and they're doing a great job together. I love the teaming of these guys.
Still don't understand what they're doing with Fuego de Sol.
I don't either. I don't know why Fuego's a great wrestler. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it just, that doesn't put my ass in a seat to watch him get his ass beat by these guys.
No.
We need somebody else for them to focus on. Maybe it'll lure out Sammy Guevara because him and Fuego are friends. Maybe something like that. But yeah, I don't know what they're doing about Fuego. I guess time will tell on that one. I hope it's a good lead into the story of what they're trying to do.
Oh, it is.
Okay.
Stay tuned next week, folks.
Yeah, definitely. I still got to rewatch it. I was getting so distracted during it. But out comes Britt Baker with, who is it? Elijah Harris and Pat Fairmouth. I do not know who they were.
Najee Harris and Pat Fairmouth, running back and tight end for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, okay. I don't watch football, so that's probably why I was kind of lost in that. All right, that makes some sense.
They were in Pittsburgh. That's why they were doing it.
Yeah, that's kind of like a cheap pop type move to do, because I've never been into bringing in like NFL players or NBA players into wrestling. It always seems kind of pointless to me.
The only way it works is if you're Steve Mongo McMichael.
Oh yeah, definitely, it worked for him. Definitely.
Or Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman was great too. Hey, and you also gotta give it up to Carl Malone. He did pretty well in that match.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the mailman.
Yeah. But so it's Britt Baker versus Daniel Carmella. It was just a quick match. Lockjaw for the win. Serena Deeb and Sheeta video promo comes on for a Philly street fight. And then we had Andre El Idolo versus Darby Allin in
a coffin match,
yes. And The Blade and Mark Quinn also helped out to intervene in this matchup, taking advantage of the no disqualification rule in this. Sting was in the crowd. He was dressed as a fan in a Sting mask.
And that was so great.
Yeah, and it was a great surprise. And he just started beating the hell out of The Blade and Mark Quinn, taking care of them and evening up the odds a bit. And Quinn hit Sting with a chair shot. Sting no sold it, and Sting did a flying crossbody off of this platform onto everyone in down below, and that just looked awesome. The shit that Sting is pulling off
at his age, yeah.
I get scared for him, you know. I'm like, oh, come on, that's dangerous, Sting.
For your age, yeah.
Yeah, but the man is in shape. You got to give it up for him. And I do. I pop for Sting every time.
That's the one thing about Sting is he's always stayed in shape. And I think that's what's allowed him to continue to go like this. He's always been a bodybuilder, always been into keeping his body in shape ever since he was the Blade Runner.
Yeah, yeah.
Showing my age.
Yeah, well, I'm right there with you.
Right. People are going, who's the Blade Runner?
Hey, if you don't know who the Blade Runner is, YouTube it, guys.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. And also, he worked with Ultimate Warrior in a tag team, too.
Yep.
Which is why the face paint, their face paint used to be really similar in the beginning.
The Dingo Warrior.
The Dingo Warrior, that was it, yep. And I forget the name of the team. Was it the Warriors?
No, I think it was the Blade Runners.
Maybe it was that. I'll have to Google it later. But yeah, Google it up, guys. They were just huge as far as body size and muscle mass. Those guys were just animals. And yes. animals in the ring as well. Darby closed the coffin lid onto Andrade for the win, which the coffin lid had thumbtacks on it. I failed to mention that, which I would like to see more use of the thumbtacks than they were being used. But didn't happen, but he got the win. The Hardys come out and do the delete gesture aimed at Andrade. So we still kind of have that feud going on, and that closed out the show. Overall, I gave this show 3 chair shots.
Yeah. I gave it 2.5.
Yeah, it wasn't anything spectacular. Like you said, there was a lot of just short matches. Not a lot of interest in the matches themselves. And yeah, the next Dynamite is better though. I will say that.
Yes, it is much better.
Yeah,
it's a big improvement.
Definitely. And I don't want to spoil it for the listeners that listen to us and, you know, to get their AEW news. But, yeah, it's a lot better. Definitely. And then we go on to Rampage. Also, like, taped in Pittsburgh. Started off with Adam Cole versus Tomohiro Ishii. Ricky Starks was on commentary, and this is one thing that bugs me. Adam Cole gets hit in the face, right? And dumb flies out of his mouth, and they do the old tired line, was that a tooth? Whenever there's spit flying or gum flying out of someone's mouth, they always use that line. I wish they would just stop. That's like a Jerry Lawler type thing, you know? And yeah. he could get away with it, but it's just been done to death. I just noticed that in the match. But I just had to bring that up, that I just can't stand that line. But Jay White comes out and attacks Romero, causing the ref's attention to divert to that. And then Cole hits a low blow onto Ishii, hits the boom, gets the win in heel fashion. not a bad match, but not a spectacular match.
Yeah. Cole's got to do something to get over better.
Even in Undisputed Era, I was not into Cole. There's something about him that doesn't make it quite believable to me. It's his, he needs to pack on the pounds, put some protein powder down his throat or something. He's a good wrestler, don't get me wrong. And I don't know what it is about him that doesn't hook me in.
He's just flat sometimes. Yeah. If you get him in a good, serious... some of the Undisputed Era stuff he was doing in NXT was great. The feud the Undisputed Era had with... what is his name? Pat McAfee and the German guys were with Walter.
Yeah. That's when I kind of started tuning out of NXT. Actually,
I thought Pat McAfee did a great job.
He's a great wrestler. Definitely. But then we go backstage, and security isn't letting the Jericho Appreciation Society through. Garcia says it's okay, he can beat Kingston twice. Matt yells out something like human resources, and they're just getting angry with the security. And Jericho Appreciation Society left the building, and it was all because they weren't allowed in.
Yeah, that was kind of a weak backstage segment.
Yeah, it was. You know, 2.0 bother me. Jeff Parker, or whatever it is now. Not Jeff Parker. What's his name? Matt. What did they change? Matt Menard bothers me. He's got like this weird accent that he pulls off, and he just looks like he drank too much caffeine and comes out with lines like that. Human resources.
Yeah.
I don't know. They've always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. We have backstage Danhausen taunting Hook. Hook slams him against the wall and says, you want my attention? You got it now. So it's on with them. And this could be good, this could be bad, but I think overall it's going to be good. Both guys are way over with the crowd. So they should have no problems pulling off a great match together. Then we have Lance Archer with Jake the Snake versus Serpentico. This is your typical Lance Archer match.
Squash match.
Squashed him, yeah. Choke slammed him three times or four times, kind of sending a message to Wardlow, doing multiple choke slams like that. Then we go to a video package with Smart Mark Sterling and Tony Nese. Not much happening there. We get to Daniel Garcia versus Eddie Kingston. And this match, I enjoyed. It had a real violent start to it. Both are rough and stiff and high impact. Garcia turned things around at one point with a European uppercut on the top rope, and he just kept up the offense. And then Kingston hit a series of suplexes and then hit the spinning back fist and gets the win out of it. And after the match, Kingston tells an out of it Garcia, he's grabbing him, and Garcia's out of it, He tells him to look at the camera and says, "This is just a message. Send it to your boss," and shoves the mic in his face. Kingston is a badass, as is Daniel Garcia. Were you as into this match as I was?
Yeah, I like Eddie Kingston. He's got some really solid mic skills, and he's very over. I got to see him a few months back wrestle at Defy here in Portland, and that was right before Brody King went to AEW. It was him and Brody King.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They were teaming, weren't they?
Yeah, Brody King is a beast.
Yeah, he is. And he's a monster of a man. I mean, and a damn good wrestler. He's very believable as this evil powerhouse. And
yeah, in House of Black. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he fits right in with them.
But, speaking of, for your local guys, if you guys want to watch some good high impact wrestling for free, Defy is going to be on Pluto TV streaming live from Washington Hall in Seattle tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
It's at 8? Is it at 8? Is that
8 Pacific.
Pacific time? Okay. And it's on Pluto?
Pluto TV, their wrestling channel, yes.
Nice. Okay. I'm going to check it out. I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah. There's one or two schools here, and they put on a show here and there. I want to get more involved with the local indies here. I just haven't had the chance to yet. I've talked to the owner, so maybe we'll get something working there too. Then we have the main event backstage. Tony Schiavone's with Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee. Keith Lee is so upset in it, he can't talk. And Swerve says, "You've won the battle, but the war isn't over." Getting a rise out of Starks and Team Taz. So they're really building that up. And then, I'm sorry. And then we go to Jade Cargill versus Marina Shafir. Jade Cargill, of course, has Smart Mark with her. Terrible intro. Terrible mic work by both of them. The match was slow. It was clunky. Lackluster. Boring. I can't think of any more adjectives.
Jade Cargill is turning into a snore fest. They got to do something.
Oh, man.
Got to get rid of Mark Sterling, in my opinion.
Yeah, and give her a chance to talk, which she's shown that she can be a pretty good talker. I think so too. But I like Smart Mark. I do, but he seems to be in every other backstage segment I see. He's with Tony Nese.
He's with everybody. It's like,
yeah. He's with MJF, and then he's with Jade Cargill. So, you know, he's kind of, when they do these backstage segments, he's involved in each one of them. And I think he does really good. I like Smart Mark Sterling, but it gets pretty Smart Mark heavy lately.
Yeah. They need to get him in the ring and put him through a table or something, you know, and kind of get him better.
Yes, definitely, because I've seen him on Danhausen's YouTube channel, and he's a funny guy. He can talk, like I said. So it would be great to see him do a spot here and there, and take a bump. The crowd would probably really react well with it, like you said. I think that's a great idea, Spaz.
Yeah. He Smart Mark it is good, but he lacks. They got to do something to get him over a little bit better.
Yeah, definitely. That was the Rampage and Dynamites for last week. Like I said, it's a bit of a struggle with my job getting the schedule just right. I've talked to them, crossing my fingers, hoping that they can schedule me better to where I can make it to where Dynamite's being presented sooner rather than later. But for right now, we'll keep up the pace as we're going, and we'll come up with something. I'm going to be doing GCW. Did you catch both shows?
No, I just caught Saturday's show.
Okay, so I will review that one with you, and I'll actually throw in the Find You Again show with that. So we'll have kind of a bonus show coming this week for GCW.
Okay, yeah.
And I just want to thank all the listeners. We had a lot of listeners last week, and appreciate you guys listening and supporting us. We're a small podcast, but we got a lot of heart. And Unscripted Violence is going to forge on.
I got a couple of guests in mind, too, in the near future.
That's great. We've had guests in the past. Love it when there's guests on the show. I love doing little bonus segments on that. So, yeah, we got things cooking. We got things in motion. So what I will do, I for the life of me, I want to look it up, but I cannot find out what the name of the other the GCW show was. There's Find You Again, and then there's one other.
Crap, I can't think of the name of it neither.
It's The Old Me.
The old me. Yeah, that's it.
There we go. We got it, guys.
That was the one I saw from Detroit.
Okay, excellent. I'm in the middle of covering Find You Again, but we'll definitely do The Old Me. And we'll just kind of combine those two into one show.
Tell you what, one of the things I noticed is I've never seen before in my life was you had back-to-back, it's just a quick preview, you had back-to-back hardcore matches and with light tubes, glass panes, you name it. And not only did they go back-to-back, but they didn't clear the ring. So that's your awesome. Second match had these guys wrestling in the middle of all this pile of debris that had already been strewn all about the ring.
It's funny because I was watching Planet Death and Nick Gage was on commentary, and he was complaining about them cleaning the ring between death matches. So maybe somebody heard that and say, yeah, that would be better if we did that.
That was insane.
Yeah, it is.
Insane.
GCW, the previous co-host, producer Joe, he introduced me to GCW. I've been hooked ever since. they're a great promotion, and you know, they're the modern day ECW in my eyes, and they just bring in all types of wrestling. You got lucha, you got shoot fighting, you got, you know, death matches. It's just, I can't say enough about that promotion.
Yeah, you got one of the hottest up and coming announcers with Kevin Gill.
Oh, Kevin Gill is a badass. He definitely is.
Shout out to KG. Check him out on Twitter at KG Kevin Gill.
Definitely. And my Twitter, by the way, I just posted it in the group, but it's Staggerly777 if you want to follow me on that. Spaz, do you have a Twitter?
Yeah, at the Rocky Classic.
Nice. And join the group, you guys. Join Unscripted Violence Pro Wrestling Talk. Give us your feedback on what you think, what you'd like to hear. And we'll definitely not only take it into consideration, probably do those things. We just want to make an enjoyable show and content for you. And once again, I appreciate the listens, and while you're listening, you know, subscribe, give us a good rating. That way it gets us in line when somebody's searching for a pro wrestling podcast. Well, Unscripted Violence has all these likes, so it's going to pop up as a suggestion to them, and you know, more people can enjoy the show. And
absolutely,
definitely. And also, if you like to donate to us, it's on the link in Anchor. You can definitely do so, because the GCW shows, you know, they cost money, and you know, it wouldn't hurt us any to help us keep those going and keep watching those and covering those shows for you guys.
Yes, it does cost.
Yeah, it does. But I do it because I love wrestling. I love pro wrestling, and I love my fans and our fans, and that's what keeps me going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. Well, Spaz, it's been a pleasure this podcast. I'll get with you, and we'll figure out what day we're going to cover GCW, and I will post it in the group, guys, so that you know when you can expect to hear about it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Stay tuned, guys. We got much more coming in the near future. And staggered pleasure again. And yep. We'll be upgrading, hopefully maybe get some more shows going and kind of push this channel a little bit in the future.
Definitely. Yeah, and we're right now we're like the little podcast that could, we got big plans, big expectations. So stay tuned to us. Well, thanks once again, Spaz, and this is Stagger Lee signing off for Spaz as well. And you guys enjoy the rest of your week, and we will talk to you later.
Peace.